Disclaimer, this is a gym, in case you didn't notice. It's not to be confused with the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem. I know the difference. And yet, I'm also looking out at a number of people who call themselves followers of Christ. And by his definition, you are the temple of God. You are. And much that we're going to that I'll talk about for a few minutes this morning applies to what we're doing today. This is a gym, but it's so much more. It is a place that is dedicated to him and his purpose for those who will use it. We are dedicating this place today to him and to those who will use it for a long, long time. This place, what you see today, came together because of the dedication of God's people. And today, as the service goes on, we're going to honor those people today who have been so dedicated. Hopefully, as we just pay attention to them and what they've done, we'll learn from those who have dedicated themselves. And we will dedicate ourselves to this, to him and to what he has plans, his plans for this place. You know, the word to dedicate simply means to give your strength to something. And we saw a number of people who truly, truly gave their strength to this place coming together. They gave their years of preparation to do what they did in this place. And it has paid off. So how does a dream come together to honor God? I've asked you, and I hope you're filling this yellow card out. Please, I'm asking you to dream, to envision what God might do in this place. And please, we want you to pass those with the offering plate at the end of the service. But how does a dream come together to honor God and impact countless people? We're going to just talk a little bit about how King David's dream came together. Would you turn, please? If you have your Bibles here, I'd like you to turn in the first third of your Bible, probably about that, to 1 Chronicles. There's 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, and then 1 and 2 Chronicles. And we're going to turn to 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I'm just going to very briefly walk through a few things that are going on at this place, in this little, this history of God's work among his people. David, King David, had it in his heart to build a place, what he called a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of God. You remember that God brought this Ark. It didn't start with Indiana Jones, okay? The Ark of the Covenant, actually, and it's not just great for a movie. The Ark of the Covenant was a holy, set-apart item to remind God's people of his holiness and what he had done to call his people to be his own people, and then to bring them out of captivity, and then to organize them as a people who were not a people. And along the way, he gave them the law. And inside that Ark of the Covenant were the tablets of the law upon which God himself had written the Ten Commandments. And above the Ark of the Covenant were the cherubim with their wings, as it were, protecting this most holy place. King David had it in his heart to bring the Ark of the Covenant back, or bring it to Jerusalem, and give to it a place of rest, what we would call, and what Solomon would call, the temple of God. Look at chapter 28, 1 Chronicles 28, verse 2. King David rose to his feet and he said, "Listen to me, my brothers and my people. I had it in my heart to build a house as a place of rest for the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, for the footstool of our God. I made plans to build it. But God had other plans. He had other plans for the ark. He had other plans for who would build that place. Look at verse 3. But God said to me, you are not to build a house for my name, because you are a warrior. By God's design, he was a warrior, and have shed blood. Yet the Lord God of Israel chose me from my whole family, out of my whole family, to be king over Israel forever. David did what he could do. In the next few months and years, to provide for the Ark of the Covenant to come to Jerusalem. He was the one who became the fundraiser. It began with King David opening up from all the wealth that he had acquired in the years that God had given him to be king. And much of this became his own personal wealth. And he was the first one to say, I'm going to make this happen. I may not be able to build it. I'll never see it. But I'm going to put it out there for people to benefit by. I was just thinking about this place and the history of this place. I had nothing to do with this building coming together. Long before I ever heard of Whittier, California, people who were here, long before I was ever born, people wanted a church in this place, and they had a vision. And in the midst of the Depression, in 1929, they built a church, the church that is on that corner. And they built that church, and it was completely paid for in the midst of the Depression. In a few short months, it was paid for. People had a vision. Where would that vision go? Would they see all of the vision? Could they possibly grasp all of that vision? No. They didn't. They just knew that they felt that God wanted them to have a church in this place. And the people that preceded us blessed us so much by establishing a church here. And it grew. And it grew. It grew so much that even an amazing building that was next to it was actually torn down to make room for an education facility, a big education facility, a place for a school. And along the way, those people who all had vision, they would see some of this come together, and they would have a vision for countless lives being reached for Christ, and children being trained, and families being changed. They would have that vision, and it would happen. It would happen. It would happen way beyond them. And most all of those people who had that vision are residents of Rose Hill Cemetery and heaven today. It's just an amazing thing when people have a vision. That's why I asked you, use that card. How do you see God using this place? I remember after we made an initial little attempt to refurbish the sanctuary. It wasn't a major, huge job, but we refurbished the sanctuary a number of years ago. And I talked to one of the older gentlemen who's now in glory, and I said, so, Ralph, what do you think of this? And he goes, this is beautiful. And another little guy that had been around here for a long time, he talked about this place, this room that we're in right now. I was, right now where I'm standing, there was a stage here, and there were big stage curtains, big, beautiful, heavy stage curtains. And I heard from this gentleman about the desires that people had for this to be a very special place where people would come and find fellowship. The ceiling was a lot lower. It was lower and more comfortable, and there wasn't all of the echo effect that we had a few months ago in this place. But people had a vision for what could happen in this place. And then we brought the junior high over here and felt it was necessary to remodel. And we remodeled, and Pastor Dennis will talk about that. As time went on, David collected all sorts of, he brought together all sorts of his resources, tons of gold. And then the people, they were so inspired by what David was doing as he was laying it on the line, that his leaders of groups of people and leaders of his army, they said, we're going to invest our fortune. And they brought together, just imagine the magnitude of this, folks. How many, I don't know, I'm not going to ask you if you, any raise of hands as to how many of you have gold. I keep thinking, what do you do with that stuff when you get it? I have no idea what you do with it. So don't come rob my house because there's none there. But these people brought together their gold, like 170 plus tons of gold. Tons of gold. They brought together more than, I think, 300 tons of silver and about 250 tons of brass and about 1,200 tons of iron and all sorts of other supplies. And people were conscripted to be involved in the building of that temple. David brought the stuff together, and King Solomon began to have the temple built. The temple, that place of worship where God said he would meet with his people. It was a tabernacle in the wilderness, but now it was this place in Jerusalem. And inside that place was the Holy of Holies. This was a meeting place with God. But he was not, and absolutely could not, be limited to a place. Chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles. Chapter 2 of 2 Chronicles. This is the preparation for the building of the temple. God was working in Solomon's mind and heart. Now this is Solomon. He continues, he brings his father's vision forward and begins the building of this. And he brings together people, leaders from other places, and asks for artisans and craftsmen to come and actually build the temple. And Solomon sent this message in chapter 2 to Hiram, and I'm captured by the verses 5 and 6. The temple I'm going to build, chapter 2, verses 5 and 6, the temple I'm going to build will be great because our God is greater than all other gods. But who is able to build a temple for him, since the heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain him? Who then am I to build a temple for him, except as a place to burn sacrifices before him? And then Solomon says to Hiram, send workers to come do this job. Who am I to do it? I can't do it all myself, but that's not even the big point. Who are we to create something that will have such an amazing impact? Who are we? Because God cannot be contained. So the temple came together with the work of many, many people. What did that temple, what were the possible dimensions of that temple? What do you envision in your mind and heart? Maybe some of you have made little temples with your children. You made that just as maybe a school project or a youth project. I've seen some amazing displays along the way. But if you want to just kind of see the dimensions of what the temple itself looked like, the temple inside the larger complex, the temple was actually about the size of the inside measurements of our sanctuary. Wasn't all that big. Man, was it impressive. And it was so full of symbolism that the Bible tells us all of that symbolism pointed forward. And even as Marilyn said as she was taking the children out, about the kings that would point to and teach their people about, she said, about Jesus. All of those things in the temple pointed forward to the real temple, to the real Holy of Holies. and that is Jesus. Jesus said that that amazing temple with all its gold and all of its ornateness and all its symbolism, all of that was just a shadow of the real temple, which is Jesus. And so the temple came together. And as it came together, God's people then gathered. And Solomon prayed at the dedication as the Ark of the Covenant was brought to the temple. Look at chapter 6, 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Just a few verses to look at to draw our attention and a focus. As Solomon stands before his people, he blesses them. Much like we even said here of Mark and Jordan. And as they moved on, to just say, Israel prayed that, he said, we just bless them as we send them on to other areas of ministry. So Solomon stood and blessed his people. Look at verse 3 of chapter 6. While the whole assembly of Israel was standing there for a long time, the king turned around and blessed them and said, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hands has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to my father David. I am just captivated by that statement. He says, with his hands. Now, were these giant hands coming out of heaven and going, let me whoop this temple together? No. But he's saying, with my hand, with God's hands and his promise. He brings his promise together and made this happen. He put something in David's heart. He put something in Solomon's heart. He brought all sorts of people together and they became his hands. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who with his hands has fulfilled what he promised with his mouth to my father David. Verse 10, the Lord has kept the promise that he made. I have succeeded David, my father, and now I sit on the throne of Israel, just as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. I think, he's kept his promise to my father and to me. And I sit on the throne of as the Lord promised, and I have built the temple for the name of the Lord. What's that? I've built it so that he would be known in that place. How do you see God being known in this place? What are some of the things that you see happening here, him doing to make his name known? Please write. What's God putting on your heart to see happen in this place? And then David prayed. Look at verse 14 of chapter 6. O Lord God of Israel, there is no God like you in heaven or earth. You who keep your covenant of love with your servants, who continue wholeheartedly in the way. Verse 16 of chapter 6. Now, O Lord God of Israel, keep your servant David, my father. Keep for your servant, my father, David, the promise you made to him when you said, you shall never fail to have a man to sit before me on the throne of Israel, if only your sons are careful in all they do to walk according to your law. I'll do it. I will do it. I made a promise to David, and I will keep that promise. But Solomon captures these words. He puts that conditional, if only you will follow me. If only you will obey my law. But you've got to follow, and you've got to be faithful to my word and my law. Not just a blanket blessing, but a blessing, if only you will follow me. I want to just call your attention to one more part of this prayer of dedication, because it tells me where God's going with this. Were God's people perfect? No. They never were. Did they blow it many times? Sure. Are we perfect? Absolutely. No. My father-in-law used to say, my wife calls me a model husband. So I looked up the word model, and it's a replica of the real thing. And so, but we are not perfect. And we will not be until we see him face to face. And Paul says we will be like him, for we shall see him as he is. We won't be him, but we'll be like him when we see him as he is. But God wanted from the beginning, we've been doing this little survey of the Bible, from the beginning of the book of Genesis, when God called Abram and said, Abram, I want you to, I'm going to make of you a mighty nation. He was childless, but he began to have children. He said, you are going to be a blessing to all the nations. I didn't choose you so that you could just be the greatest nation on earth. Yippee for you. I chose you to be a blessing to the nations. And I'm just amazed at this. There's all sorts of churches that would say, you can fellowship with us if you're part of us. But even in this prayer of dedication, Solomon includes people who are not part of the chosen people right now. Look at verse 32, chapter 6, verse 32. In this prayer of repentance and confession and what ifs along the way, verse 32, as for the foreigner who does not belong to your people Israel, not a natural born Jewish person, but has come from a distant land, why? Because of your great name. There were all sorts of people who knew their God must really be amazing. He must really be great. Those people that have come to this place because of your great name and your mighty hand and your outstretched arm. When he comes and when that foreigner comes and prays toward this temple, then hear from heaven your dwelling place and do whatever the foreigner asks of you, so that for this reason all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you, as do your own people Israel, and may know that this house that I have built bears your name. One more time, verse 33. Then hear from heaven your dwelling place, and do whatever the foreigner asks of you. Why? So that all the peoples of the earth may know your name and fear you. What are you writing on the yellow cards, folks? Please, what do you see God doing in this place? And afterwards, we want you to take a little tour of just what's around here, more than just what we see in this place right now. Dennis, Pastor Dennis, I want you to come. And this is the general contractor for this whole place. He's our pastor. Yeah, he's a skilled person, and he's done an amazing job. Let's give him a hand.
Are we live yet?
Yeah.
Okay. As God did work on the temple, he also provided for this situation the problem before he provided the solution. How many of you could say, I have been there? God provides a problem, and I have no way of knowing what the solution is. I think we've all been there. Well, what happened here was on November 20th, 2010, and our youth pastor, Israel Gomez, youth and family, and some of the other help from the church were restaining the wood cupboards in our fireside room. And they put the oily rags in a container and left for the day. And in the middle of the night, the fire department had to pay us a visit because the rags had self-combusted. Yes, spontaneously combusted. Yes, that actually happens. So we had a burned-out room. We had the problem. We didn't have any answer. After the visit from the fire department, service master restored us the insurance money. They started figuring that out. And we discovered that our problem wasn't going to be as simple to solve as we thought. As we went down to the building department, we said, okay, we'd like to put this wall back and put this wall, make it a partition. They said, what wall? What do you mean, what wall? The wall that was, it wasn't permitted, was it? Oh, okay, where do we do, what do we do now? So the building department came out, we decided what the plans were going to be, what we were going to do. So we had all kinds of opportunities, brilliantly disguised as impossible situations. And where do we go from here? God provided through a couple of estates a good amount of money that we were able to utilize to bring this place to what you see here today. And it took from 2011 to 2012 as we were designing and working with the city of Whittier to put together this design and what we are experiencing today. Mike Arcati is our general contractor. He is a believer. And as I was asking him, who should I get for my subcontractors for all these different tasks, a lot of the subcontractors he pointed me to were believers. And that was a big help as I played the role of an owner and having to deal with change orders. This is the first job that I can honestly say I never got a change order that was unexpected, and the change orders I did get, I know that they weren't anywhere close to what it actually cost those guys to do. So we praise God for that. Dennis Dickerson, who's been an architect in this area for a long time, he helped design remodel on our house and a number of others of yours. I know he was the architect that helped us through. And then we had Val Construction come in and do the demolition. And there was a lot of that. And, of course, as we did demolition, we found asbestos. So that slowed us down as we cordoned everything off and got rid of the asbestos. And then we broke out the old restroom concrete, broke out concrete for the new men's room. You're welcome to go take a look at those after the service. But there are signs on the door telling you they're not really in service. There's no toilet paper. The women's room, there's hardly any partitions, so you'll see why we're requesting you use the ones in the worship center. Then a Christian gentleman named Randy Mitchell, he and his team came in and put up the walls for us and the drywall, put in the drop ceilings, and it was just amazing. That rumble you hear is a new 25-ton air conditioner sitting on the roof keeping us all cool. And that's Max Graves, Graves Heating and Air, did that. And, of course, after he messed up our roof, Kenny, our roofer, had to come by and do the repair work on that. So we now have a roof that will not leak where the air conditioners are. Met a gentleman named Rich Thomas that helped us with all these doors. And that was another growing project as we discovered the fire door had a big window in it, so it was no longer a fire door, and he gave me some fantastic pricing getting that going. And I believe Max didn't show up today, did he? Max? See, that's one of the problems with all these brothers being Christians. They're at other churches, and they weren't able to attend here this morning. But all these gentlemen worked hard and gave us great deals. One that was completely unexpected, his name is Henry. And I found out as we were going through this project that we had a basketball standard here. That one back there had to be taken down because of the construction we did. And then how do you put a basketball thing back when the wall is non-existent? So you have to ask a structural engineer. Now, if any of you ever asked a structural engineer, how do you install a backstop? They scratch their head and start charging you by the hour to tell you, here's what you build. Let me just summarize it by saying this way, saying it this way. You could probably dangle your car off that basketball rack. It's tied into the superstructure of the building. But it took a certified welder to do that for us. So all kinds of fun and excitement along the way. Then George Quintana, one of our own, he did the plumbing for us, gave us a super deal, and he had his guys out here working long hours as necessary. He had a previous plan today, so he's not able to be with us. And then one of our longtime people, who's a general contractor himself. His specialty, though, is electric things, electricity. Craig Liebert is the one that did our electricity. Craig, would you come on up? No, he says no. We've got a little gift for you, Craig. My lovely wife has a gift for you, so. Craig Liebert has done a lot of electrical work around here, and probably for many of you. And he's the one that's responsible for the lights going on today. I thank you very, very much. There's a card, and you get to choose from the basket there on a gift card to a restaurant. Decisions, decisions. Thank you, Craig. He's got to get back there and make me all sound good now. David Abramian. David, would you come on up? David is he's the gentleman that's responsible for all of the security, the video security, for the door entry system, and for the thank you, David. And for the door access system, and out of the graciousness of his heart, David has donated what it probably easily over $20,000 worth of high-end technology for security. We appreciate it, David. Then we have people that came on staff not knowing that they were going to be transcripted into the job here as we put this place back together. But I'd like Barbara, Brian, and did Lance make it? Now, Lance wasn't able to make it. Okay, Brian and Barbara, come on up here. Brian and Barbara work here day in and day out. They help keep the school running. You might think they just pick up trash. That's just a little of what they do.
Thank you.
And we really appreciate the two of you. What they did, Lance here, we found out Lance had made the mistake of telling me he knows how to set tile. So I put him on task, and he went and found a tile that you see on the floors in the hallway and in the restrooms. He picked up that tile for 99 cents a square foot. And then he laid it. And he did a superb job, he and his team. Barbara, she keeps us in line and cleans up after us, which is no small task. Thank you, guys. We had a couple of young men. Aaron, did you make it today? Don't believe so. Aaron McIntyre and Timothy Wilson, they did like everything else. They were my, I don't have anyone to do it, and so they did it. They helped lay tile, they grouted, they painted. Aaron pretty much painted this whole thing on his own with the spray gun. They were my guys that did everything. So if you see Aaron McIntyre, and Timothy Wilson is the other one. Timothy, many of you know. He also has the capability to look at something he's never seen before and figure it out and repair it. So he did the low voltage and everything else I could throw at him. He's the one that mounted the projector and got it onto the screen and made it look good and everything. Then yesterday we had a number of volunteers from our family here come, and they helped remove the construction dust. And if you've ever been in this kind of an environment, you know that even after you paint the walls, they get dusty from everything else. And they went through and wet wiped all of the walls in all of the rooms and got this place ready as you see it this morning. They were even scrubbing these chairs. And again, talking about God's timing, you know, God provided the problem, then he provided the finances, and God, through Jeanette Padilla and USC, provided all the gray chairs you're sitting in. If you would like to donate, How much do you think one of those gray chairs would cost? They're pretty nice, aren't they? God provided them for us at $7.50 each. Thank you, Jeanette. Thank you, USC. So we had a number of people and volunteers working with us, and it's impossible to say just my thanks for all of you working with me under tight construction schedules. Sometimes I forget to say please and I forget to say thank you, but it's from my heart that today I say thank you.
Susie, just why don't you stay up here? I think somewhere in there there's something. My thanks to Dennis. Dennis has just done an amazing job. Not only has he been the pastor of administration here and fulfilled all those responsibilities that he had, but because he has these construction skills and an ability to work with a lot of different people, he pulled all this together. He's worked an unbelievable amount of just out of the goodness of his heart. He just threw so much of himself in here, very, very late hours and about 8 days a week, and he's given much of himself, and I just couldn't appreciate him more for all of this. And we have a gift. He said he needs a little sleep after this, so we got him. We've got him. He and Susie a gift certificate to the Mission Inn in Riverside. So
thank you.
Now, before we're going to just do a couple more things, and then we're going to have some treats as well. But before we do that, I just want to make sure that you have prepared your Keeping in Touch form. And you'll notice that on the back of this, we've called our project of remodeling this and the sanctuary, we've called it a house for all seasons. And thus far, for the work that's to be done in the sanctuary, we have had commitments to be given over 3 year period. We're 1 year into that. Commitments of about $180,000. We're going to need more than that, quite frankly. And if some of you have already had a chance to make a commitment, whatever you believe the Lord would have you give, that would be great. And again, spread out over the next couple of years. But if you'd like to make a commitment, or if you'd like to increase your commitment, you can put your name on here and then the amount that you would like to contribute as an offering to the Lord. And again, just like David and the leaders of Israel, the pump has been primed. If you'd like to jump in a little bit more, or if you'd like to just do something that you haven't had a chance to do thus far, please do that. Fold it and put it in the offering plate when it comes by. And I think that the ushers are ready at this time, right? Guys, come on forward, and I'm going to pray for the offering. Make sure you also hand in your yellow card, too. What do you see God doing in this place? Let me lead us in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, I thank you for just evidence of your tremendous work among your people over decades and centuries. You said that you would build your church. You said that you would build your church, and you've been doing it just like you promised, just like you kept your word to David. And as Jesus promised his people that he would build his church and the gates of hell would not prevail against it, I thank you, Lord, that your work goes on and on in buildings and on riversides and in dark, dangerous places. Your work goes forward. And I thank you, Lord, that we are blessed, so blessed, to be able to share in that work today. Now, as we give our tithes and offerings, we pray that you would bless the giver and that you would bless these gifts for your honor and glory. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.